You're listening to a podcast from Victory. God's love stays the same through the ages for His chosen people. Learn more about this truth in week one of our series, Remember This.
All right. Good afternoon. Magandang hapon sa lahat. All right. I'm excited to preach a brand new series entitled Remember This. But before that, you know, this week was a very emotional week for our family because my wife, Jeng, you wave your hand. My wife's Lola, actually, her Lola died. Okay, and so we buried her this morning. And so, you know, our family was close to her. And, you know, probably a month ago, she was in the hospital, I mean, for something, a leg injury. And so there was no inkling that she would pass away. But when we visited her, you know, my wife had a burden to share the gospel. And so both of us shared the gospel with her. And she was pleasantly surprised about how she did not have to work for it. It was a free gift from God. And so she was excited. She was telling us, can you tell also my sister about the same message? And so, you know, we were so glad during our visit there in the hospital. We had no idea that she was passed away, you know, several weeks later. Parang ganun lang kabilis. And so, you know, just continue to, you know, wherever you are, the urgency to preach the gospel to the people that you love. But, you know, one thing very peculiar, okay, or funny as well, when nagbumisita kami sa hospital, when we visited her Lola, so she's fondly called as Ate Luming. So when we went there, she had a short-term memory loss. So sometimes she would not recognize, you know, Jeng or myself, and she would have jumbled memories. And so it's funny, and actually sometimes for the people who were taking care of her, sometimes nakakainis daw because, you know, she would have drum up all this experiences that really never happened. And so parang mixed yung experiences. Funny, but at the same time, nakakainis. And, you know, our memories and our experiences actually help to shape us, right? Help to shape us into who we are today. Think about it. Think about the memories, the most unforgettable memories and moments of your life. Can you just imagine? Ano ba yung pinaka-unforgettable memory nyo sa buhay nyo? Maybe it's the time that, you know, you got your dream house. Or maybe nung sinagot ka ng mahal mo. Right? Or the whatever. Or think about also the most traumatic memories that you have. Right? So whether it's the most enjoyable, exhilarating experience or the most traumatic, it has a way of influencing us. Memories are very, very important because it's being etched in our minds, sa utak natin, at saka sa puso natin, in our hearts, right? It has a way of being a part of us. Now, our series for the next 4 weeks talks about the most important things that God would have us remember about Him. Okay? Four important things we need to remember about God. That's why the title is Remember This. Okay? We're going to look at the book of Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi is one of the last prophets in the Old Testament, see Malachi. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about different messages that God wants us to remember. Amen? So with that, let's begin. Let's all stand up. I want to read from Malachi chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, as we begin the series. It says in verse 1, the oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you say, how have you loved us? Is not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord. Yet I have loved Jacob. But Esau I have hated. I have laid waste to hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild our ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build, but I will tear down. They will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Your own eyes shall see this, and you shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. Let's pray. Father, bless your word as it is preached, Lord. I pray that let this be etched in our hearts and our minds, that we will not forget, but we will always remember your message for us, this timeless message that all of us need to remember. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can go ahead and take your seats. Now, very quickly, I'll just give you a quick summary of what has happened. The last three books in the Old Testament, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are what we call post-exile. Okay, it's around 535 BC. In other words, di ba na exile sila sa Babylon? They were taken captive when Babylon destroyed the temple, destroyed Jerusalem. Kinuha sila as slaves. Pinunta sila sa Babylon. And they stayed there for 70 years as exiles, as slaves. And then after 70 years, by God's sovereign hand, pinabalik sila. Okay? Through the edict of King Cyrus, bumalik sila. And the first batch came with Haggai. Haggai was the prophet, and Haggai's job was to lay the foundation for the temple. Okay? And si Ezra, the priest, there's a book about that Ezra, who asked the people to help him complete rebuilding the temple of Jerusalem. Yun yung first batch. And then after that, Zechariah, it was actually Zechariah who completed the temple. Si Ezra yung nag-urge on and Haggai, but Zechariah completed the temple. And after Zechariah, there was a second batch that came. And then from then on, it was Nehemiah. Okay, Nehemiah, bumalik siya sa Israel with all the gold to rebuild naman the walls of Jerusalem. Hindi na yung temple, but yung walls. Kumbaga sa atin, yun yung Intramuros. The walled city of Manila, di ba? Merong walled city of Jerusalem. In fact, if you go there, when you went to Israel, it's still there. Jerusalem, the walls are still there. Okay, ito yung ginawa nila Nehemiah and contemporary niya si Malachi. And then there was this third batch of Israelites that came with them and completed, and some of them completed this the walls of Jerusalem. Now, during this time of Malachi, nung sinulat niya to, tapos na yung walls, and they were living there probably close to around 75 to 100 years later when he wrote this book. And during this time, yes, tapos na yung may temple na sila, may walls na parang may city, and yet the people were getting disillusioned. The people were getting indifferent because parang walang nangyayari sa kanila. They were probably around 100,000 people. They were still under Persian rule. Okay? So meron pa rin sumakop sa kanila. Hindi pa rin sila free. And, you know, nawawalan sila ng gana. Parang, okay, life goes on. Pero nawawalan sila ng, parang hindi namin maintindihan. Marami kaming naririnig about God's blessings upon us as we return to Jerusalem, as we return to, we'll have our own land and we'll be prosperous. And all of them were expecting na parang yung panahon ni David and Solomon ulit, na matindi ulit sila as a nation, as an empire, and as a kingdom. Because binalik sila ni Lord. From captivity, naging nation ulit sila. And so, they were actually questioning the love of God. In fact, sometimes we do question the love of God, we just don't say it, right? We say to ourselves, if God really loves me, I would not be where I am today. I would not be experiencing these things. I would not be, you know, stuck in this type of situation. Right? Sometimes when we don't say it, but that's in our mind. Lord, if you really care, if you really love us, bakit nangyayari to? And Malachi used questions and answers to address itong issue na to. Very, very unique in all of Scripture. In fact, out of all the prophetic books, it's Malachi who has, it's like 47 out of the 55 verses are spoken directly by God. That's the most of any of the prophetic books, the highest percentage. Now, Malachi, si Malachi, Malachi, ang ibig sabihin ng pangalan niya ay messenger. He was God's messenger. So pag messenger siya, ibig sabihin, may message siya, right? And you know what happens? This is probably the last time that there's going to be a prophet for the next 400 years. It's called, after this book, in an intertestamental book, 400 years, that God would be silent. And so think about the messages na binigay niya kay Malachi. These were intended for the Israelites to keep and to remember. Because hindi naman alam ng Israelites na hindi na magsasalta si Lord for the next 400 years. Think about it. If someone would go away and would tell you, okay, remember this ah, kasi wala ka na maririnig. Ituloy, kailangan ipukpukin mo yun sa utak mo tsaka sa puso mo. Because you will not hear it again until 400 years from now. That's why he sent this messenger. He sent Malachi. All right? So, you get the picture right now. And so, now, God, or through Malachi, began to give statements. And the first statement that he would give is about how he loved them. And think about this. Whenever God would say something, the things that he would address this seemingly indifference or apathy of the people, they would counter, huh? Think about it. Nung sinabi ni Lord na, okay, I have loved you. This is the very first message, the foundational message of all messages. I have loved you. The people were scratching their head and say, huh? You loved us? How? How do you love us? And over again, we see this into the whole book of Malachi. In fact, let me run it through you to give a big picture about the whole book very quickly. I don't want to take too much time. But every time God would say something, the people would declare, but how? But you say, how? Look, in verse 2, I have loved you, but you say, how have you loved us? In verse 6, the priest despised my name, but you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food, but you say, how have we defiled? He no longer regards your offering, yet you say, for what reason? You have wearied him with your words, yet you say, how have we wearied him? Return to me, but you say, how shall we return? And then you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And again, in chapter 3, verse 13, okay, your words have been arrogant. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? Think about it. May sinasabi si Lord, kine-question ng mga tao, ha? Paano na, but not only were they questioned, kine-question nila si Lord, hindi nila maintindihan, they were blinded by their own indifference. Hindi nila alam na, ganyan ba? Ganyan ba ginagawa namin sa iyo, Lord? Think about that. Have we defiled? Hindi nila, parang oblivious sila, blinded sila. Yun yung state ng Israelites, sa mga tao, nung panahon ni Malachi. That's why these messages are very, very critical. Amen? Now, again, let's focus on this first message that God pounded to address to make sure it's a foundation for all of them. And this is, I believe, you have to remember this message. I have loved you, says the Lord. Sabihin mo sa katabi mo, I have loved you, says the Lord. Okay? Si Lord ang sasalita, hindi yung katabi mo, okay? Now, I hope that no one here hates God. Wala naman siguro magsasabi, no, ako, I don't love God, I hate God. But maybe some of you, just like the Israelites, have become indifferent. You may be going here, Sundays, you may be attending, you may be giving your tithes, but maybe if God would ask you the same questions or give those same statements, can you answer God correctly? Okay? And again, maybe it's because of the situation you've gone through. Maybe you've gone through experiences that were painful, that were not really good. And you cannot, parang, Pastor, ang hirap kasi ng situation. I cannot feel the love of God when I'm going through this much pain. Now, If God really loves me, why is this happening? That's the common thing. Why do I suffer while those who don't believe God, those who are not followers of Christ, they seem to prosper. They seem to be blessed. Maybe that's your question. Maybe that is your thinking. You may not hate God, but because of that, your love is dimming. Now, listen, what if that's the case, just like the Israelites, what is the solution to a love that is indifferent or apathetic? Ano yung solution? God told them, I have loved you, and their answer is, how have you loved us? This is God's answer to that, a love that's been indifferent. And we need to remember these three things about God's love if we are to fight against this indifference or cold love. These three things about God's love. First, you have to remember that God's love is unmerited but elective. God's love is unmerited but elective. Let me explain that. Let me read first from verse 2 and 3. It says, ang answer ni God, how? This is his answer. Is not Esau Jacob's brother? Parang ang layo na sagot ni Lord, no? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have laid waste his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. Can you imagine that? Sinabi ni Lord, I have loved you, and yet the people were questioning God. You love us? Sigurado ka, Lord, you love us? How have you loved us? And God's answer, you want me to prove to you that I love you? Consider Esau and Jacob. Esau, I hated. That's a strong word. And Jacob, I have loved. Now, Paul gives an extended commentary on this in Romans chapter 9. So let me read Romans chapter 9 to expound on this. It says, not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children, okay, through Isaac, they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election, say election, okay, might continue not because of works, but because of him who calls. She was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. So Paul quotes Malachi on this, right? But this word, for God's purpose of election. Election is not voting, but the word election here means to choose, right? When we elect, we choose a candidate. So when I say that God's love is unmerited but elective, we don't merit, we don't deserve, right? Ano sabi niya dito? They were not yet born. They have not yet done good or bad. But God chose who? Jacob. He did not choose Esau. He hated Esau. Now, listen. If you, in the natural, pag titignan mo yung buhay ni Esau and Jacob, if you would grade on a curve, mas mabuting tao si Esau kaysa kay Jacob. Because Esau was a hunter. Yes, he was the firstborn. He was a hunter. He was very frank, straightforward. Okay, yung sasabihin niya, yung nasa utak niya. He was strong, right? He was like a leader. Okay? And kaya nga, favorite siya ni Isaac, diba? Si Esau. Although he's not too bright, okay? Jacob, on the other hand, if you would review his life in the natural, what was he? He was a supplanter. Mas domesticated siya, diba? Marunong siya magluto and all of that. Favorite siya ni Rebecca, right? But he was a deceiver, schemer. Gumagawa ng mga schemes para mang-agaw, di ba? I mean, ngayon sa madaming schemes ngayon para kunin yung mga pera nyo, right? Si Jacob, nauna na doon. That's in the natural, okay? A schemer versus a strong warrior. If you would put it in a more relevant sense, itong picture na to would probably describe them. Can you show this picture? Yon. Si Esau, si Thor, strong. not as bright, but he's frank, right? Si Loki, schemer, right? Siya si Jacob. Think about that for a moment. God would choose Loki over Thor. That's what it means. That's what it means. It blows our mind, right? That's a concept of unmerited. That's a concept of election. It's God's choice, not ours. It's not because of, ito yung gagawin ka sa nila eh. Ito yung gagawin ni Loki, ito yung gagawin ni Thor. Yun ang isipin nyo. God chose Loki over Thor. God chose Jacob over Esau. Now, God rejected Esau. Not because of anything, but because God chose Jacob. It was his sovereign choice. Now, think about yourself for a moment. Tayo, of course, we want to be Thor, right? Especially yung katawan ni Thor, yung mga lalaki, di ba? Parang walang tatabasa katawan. He eats 20 chickens a day. Or, if I remember right, exercise for 3 hours, eat chicken, walang rice, walang kahit na ano. Kaya puro muscle yun. Anyway, think about it. We want to be Thor, but we're actually Loki. But here's the good news. God chose Loki. God chose you. Say that to your seatmate. God chose you. He was not forced to love you. He was not, you did not earn, you did not merit God's love. Before you were born, pinili ka ni Lord. You know what I call that? You were foreloved. Foreloved by God. Before you were born, before you were in your mother's womb, God chose you and foreloved you. Think about the worst sin that you ever committed. In spite of that, God chose you. That's what it means. God's love is unmerited and elective. Before you did anything, before you could do anything for him, he loved you. God, while we were stuck in the mud, in our miry pit, God would stoop down, bend over, pick you up, and set you in a rock. Listen, God always does that. He would choose a fugitive wanted for murder to liberate Israel. And you know what he called him? God's friend. He's my friend. I'd speak to him face to face. He would choose an adulterer and murderer to be the king of Israel. And you know what he called him? A man after God's own heart, David. He would choose the least and the weakest of his clan and called him a mighty warrior to lead Israel from the hands of Midian. That's Gideon. Wala pa silang ginagawa. Right? But God was addressing them because he chose them. You see, and you have to remember this, God relates to us not on the basis of our history, but on the basis of our destiny. Walang pakialam si Lord, anong ginawa niyo dati, ano yung grade niyo, ano yung kapalpakan niyo. But when he chooses you because he loves you. And he would address you on the basis of your destiny. He did not call David, you know, you're a murderer and an adulterer. No, he would call a man after my own heart. He would address him as that. Not on the basis of history, but on the basis of his destiny. Let me tell you, wherever you are right now, whatever, anumang kapalpakan ang ginawa mo, if God chose you, it's because you have a divine destiny and purpose for Him. When the Bible talks about God's love being unmerited and elective, it's one of the most powerful things about His love. Let me illustrate it this way. If Michael Jordan would come here to form a dream team against the world's mightiest basketball teams, okay? Sino pinakamatangkad dito? Sino naglalaro ng basketball dito? You're a basketball player. Pwede na rin intrams. Varsity, can you stand up quickly? Okay? Meron ba ditong six-footer? Mga six-footer? 5'11"? Wala pa? Sino magaling magtumi? Ayaw nyo? Ayaw nyo sumali? 5'11 ka? Meron pa bang iba? 5'11? 5'10? Naglalaro ng basketball. Tayo kayo, yung mga naglalaro ng basketball. Okay, don't be shy. Okay? Alright. Okay? Yung iba, dito lang? Wala naglalaro? Imagine this. Dumating si Michael Jordan, magpo-form siya ng dream team. Siyempre, isipin natin pipiliin niya. The best of the best. Siyempre, kakalabanin, di ba? Ang mga superpowers, Spain and others, right? And yet, who would God choose? Okay? Who would God choose? Okay? Meron ba ditong 412? Sorry. Meron ba ditong grade school pala? Right? Meron bang hindi naglalaro ng basketball dito? Okay? Anyway, okay, lady na lang, okay, what's your name? Si April, okay? Naglaro ka ng basketball? Hindi. Okay? Parang ganun yun. Nandyan lahat ng pipiliin ni Michael Jordan, and yet, he chooses April and says, I want you to be on my team. And it doesn't matter if you don't play basketball. Because Michael Jordan, si Lord yun. Kahit sino pang kalaban. I mean, I'm not saying Michael Jordan is God, but parang ganun ang ginawa ni Lord. When God, it doesn't matter kung hindi ka naglalaro ng basketball because yung kakampi mo is the most important thing. Right? Thank you so much. You can sit down. Ganun. That's what it means for God's love to be unmerited and elective. He chooses you not because of your abilities. But of course, if you're with God, if you are, you want to give your all, you want to play your best, amen? So, let's move on quickly. So, God's love, we learned that God's love, you have to remember that, right? God's love is unmerited but elective. He chooses. We don't earn it, but it's God's choice. Secondly, the second thing we need to remember about God's love is unchanging but corrective. Unchanging but corrective. Now it gets more interesting sa explanation ni Lord. Diba? Kung ano-ano sinasabi ni Lord na hindi natin maintindihan eh. Sagot niya sa una, Esau and Jacob, at susunod niya. If Edom says in verse 4, we are shattered but we will rebuild the ruins, the Lord of hosts says, they may build but I will tear down. They will be called the wicked country and the people with whom the Lord is angry forever. Wow. Now, it's interesting when God declared in verse 1, or in verse 2, that I have loved you. Remember that? The word I have loved you literally means, in the original language, okay, I have loved you in the past and I continue to love you. So it's not just past tense. It's past progressive. It's ongoing. It's constant. It's steadfast. It's continuing. Hindi lang past tense ay, mahal kita dati, ngayon hindi na. When God says, I have loved you, the tense is past progressive. God's love never changes. Say that with me. God's love never changes. It is steadfast. Now, aren't you glad na hindi nagbabago yung utak ni Lord about you? That sometimes, that somehow, He would suddenly wake up and say, ay, parang hindi ko na trip. na, you know, i-love, okay, ng people. Right? The Israelites or you. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change His mind whenever you don't read the Bible, whenever you don't pray, or when you don't tithe or come here in the service or go to your small group? Or aren't you glad that God doesn't change His mind about His love for you when you sin? Aren't you glad that God doesn't change His mind about you, okay? Because you grew too old. Because you're not a cute baby anymore. His love for you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In fact, Jeremiah confirms this in Lamentations chapter 3. It's a familiar verse, but it's so true. And you have to remember this about the love of God. Lamentations 3, 22 to 24. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Wow. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. That's an important phrase. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Do you know what the difference is between Edom, nabasa natin, who is in ruins, right? And forever will be destroyed, and forever will be hated by God. And anong diferensya ni Edom kay Israel, who also was in ruins, right? When they were destroyed by Babylon and taken to captivity in Babylon, right? By Nebuchadnezzar. Anong difference ni Edom kay Israel? There's one word that differentiates them. And that word is hope. Edom has no hope because he is forever in enmity with God. While God, who loves Jacob or Israel, gives them hope even when they were in captivity. That's why the prophets came. That's why Jeremiah 29:10, when they were in captivity, one of the favorite verse, diba? For I know the plans that I have for you, right? It's a message of hope. That's the difference. Two people are in ruins, but the difference, because of God's love, one will have hope and the other will not have any hope. God's love is unchanging. Even though one is in ruins, you have to remember God is still loving you in spite of what you're going through. God's love does not change, but God's love changes us. God's love does not change, but His love changes of us. Because God's love is not only unchanging, but it is corrective. Think about Jacob for a moment. Let's go back to Jacob. Remember Jacob, who was schemer, he schemed Esau, right, from the birthright. He schemed Isaac from the blessing. And then he schemed Laban, yung father-in-law niya. Any scheme rin siya, di ba? If you remember that, he wanted Rachel, so he worked and saw that, and then binanto Trisha, ibang babae yung pinangasawa niya, di ba? Kasi I guess makapal yung veil doon, hindi nakita. Pagbukas niya ng veil, iba pala, si Leah, hindi si Rachel. So he had to work 7 more years. Na-scheme rin siya, na-scam rin siya. Anyway, and then nung makikita na sila ni Esau, remember that story in Genesis, takot na takot siya. And so the Bible says, God met him. God met him, and God wrestled with Jacob. And when one who is unchanging, immovable, okay, immutable, meets a schemer, a deceiver, and supplanter, guess who would give? Guess who would change? Jacob was the one who changed. After they wrestled, Jacob his hip socket. Okay, he was naiba yung lakad ni Jacob. He went away from that encounter with God different, humbled, but at the same time, in a different path. You see, God's love is unchanging, but it changes us. It's corrective. Remember, Hebrews says, God disciplines those he loves. It's not to punish, it's to change us. It's to correct us. God's love accepts us as who we are, but doesn't leave us the way we are. It is transformative. You know, we just came from our School of Empowerment in Dubai when we trained our churches there. And one of the leaders, actually, she, you know, her faith was tested when she was diagnosed with a, stage three cancer. But she held on. She knew that God loved him, and so she went to the chemotherapy and the radiation treatment. And when she was there, God just assured her, I loved you, and I'm going to see you through. Okay, that comforted her. But more than that, you know what happened? Her faith began to well up. But there was a gift of faith that was imparted. And so one time when she was there in the hospital, there was a boy who was parang may emergency. Nilagay yung boy doon sa katabi niya sa, to be treated, radiation treatment. And so when she saw this young, probably 11-year-old boy, sabi niya, parang in her spirit said, you know, if I get a chance to pray for this boy, he will get well. So without, of course, they're in Dubai. It's a Creative Access Nation pa rin, di ba? So, hindi na siya, sabi niya, I want to just pray. And so, she talked to the mother, and she finds out that the boy was actually came from the U.S. and other countries to be treated. But the doctor said, no more hope. He only has probably a few weeks or 1 or 2 months to live. So they just brought him in for some therapy. And she went out and asked the permission of the mother. Of course, the mother, wala na, no choice, right? Wala nang, sige, sure. So he prayed for him and then explained and shared about Yeshua, Isa al-Masih, Jesus Christ, the Savior. And so after he prayed, they went to the radiation. But he would be there treated every day. And she would go there probably once a week or once every 2 weeks. And every time she would be there, makakasalubong niya. And she, you know, she would be shocked that the doctor said, he's actually becoming better and better every week. And so the mother came to her and said, what did you do? And she was able to share to the mom the gospel and the boy as well. And the boy kept getting better and better. And soon, the husband came, and the husband turned out to be one of the cousins. She's a sheikh, one of the royal families. Can you imagine? It was an open door because of a trial, because of something that seemed to make question the love of God for us. But it's actually a situation where God wants to use us. God wants to expand our faith, stretch our faith. Because he wants to push us. He wants to change us. He wants to transform us. That's the love of God. It's unchanging, but corrective. And finally, God's love is unbounded, but redemptive. Say that with me. Unbounded, but redemptive. Verse 5 says, your own eyes shall see this. You shall say, great is the Lord beyond the border of Israel. You know that God's love knows no boundaries. God's love doesn't stop the moment you leave this place. God's love doesn't stop when you stop, when you go to your home, or when you go, when you're not in your small group. God's love doesn't stop when you go out of the Philippines. You know, even when the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years, God's love was orchestrating their exodus. Even when the Israelites were in Babylon for 70 years, God's love didn't cease. In fact, it is what kept them and brought them back. You see, nothing can keep them from God's love. No plague, no exile, no famine, no foreign army, no disease can keep you from God's love. It knows no bounds. Unbounded. In fact, Paul says it this way in Romans chapter 8, verse 38. For I am sure that neither death nor life, angels, rulers, things in the present and things to come, nor powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can keep you from the love of God. No matter where you are today, no matter what you have gone through, no matter what you're facing, nothing can separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that God's love is not too powerful that He can stretch out and reach down to your lowest point, to your deepest and darkest moment in your life. Unbounded, nothing can separate you from the love of God. It's not only unbounded, but it's redemptive. It's something that causes us to experience a turnaround. What we thought was something so negative can turn out to be the greatest things later on. Let me share this last story before I close. I don't know if I've shared this before, but a good story needs to be repeated again, if ever. There was this couple. They were actually Afghan refugees. Did I say it there? They were Afghan refugees. Of course, in Afghanistan, there's a lot of bombing, and so they went out to seek shelter in the border of Afghanistan, which is Pakistan. So they went to Pakistan for refuge. So refugees sila sa Pakistan. They were, their family was Muslim, medyo nominal itong mag-asawa, young couple. Of course, they kasama nila yung father-in-law and mother-in-law. The father-in-law was a more practicing Muslim. Okay? And so sila nominal. And so they were there, did not know what to do. Wala sila masyadong, they didn't have anything. They were refugees, they have a little, binibis ang konting pera to buy some food for the day. Bread and fish. Yun lang, for one day. So this, sabi nung asawa niya, I'll go to Kuwait to find a job. You stay here and take care of family. So the wife goes to the market. And bumili ng isda. Buys fish. So pagbili ng isda, binalot sa papel, goes home. Tapos while about to clean the fish, pag tanggal niya sa balot, she was reading the paper and it was actually a page from a Christian magazine talking about the gospel. So she read it and she was so stirred up about this Isa al-Masih, about Yeshua, about Jesus Christ. So she read it and wow, this is exciting. So cleaned up. And so she hid the magazine. And the following day, goes to the market again and buys another fish. Binalot ulit. Pag-uwi niya, pagbukas niya, it was another page. And so she began to read. Wow! So she got so excited about it. Sabi niya, I need to know more about this Isa al-Masih. I need to know about this Jesus. Okay? And so sabi niya, you know, wala na akong budget na pambili eh, but you know, I need to look for someone who can share me. Maybe there's a missionary here. So she goes to the market looking for ang nasa isip daw niya, she, ang mga missionary is mga blonde, mga American or something like that. So naghanap siya ng blondie. In-assume niya na missionary. So he approached this lady, okay, not knowing who she was, and say, can you tell me about this, you know, Jesus? And you know what? She was actually a missionary there in Pakistan. So she went there. She can only stay for several days. She went there, discipled, shared the gospel, and discipled her for those several days, and gave her a small Bible, left behind. And so she was there, and she was actually so excited, okay? And as she was reading that, there was a life change that happened. She began to serve. Of course, she could not tell the in-laws, because she knows when the in-laws find out, you know, she'll be beaten and disowned and no telling what happened. So she just kept it to herself about her private faith. But you know what happened? The husband came after 1 month. Because wala na yung work. When he came back, you know, she could not tell him, because I did not know. And so, but she kept serving, she kept praying, she kept trying to, you know, Lord, help me. I don't know how to tell my husband. Until one day, the husband confronted her and says, you know, you have changed so much. You're not my wife. Okay? You have to tell me what happened to you. Okay? Sabi niya, well, actually, I don't know how to say this, but I went to the market and I saw this, and she explained about the magazine. She explained about the missionary. And you know what happened? The husband said, you know what? Something happened to me in Kuwait. Someone shared the gospel to me also. And so you know what happened? But they talked and said, I think if my father find out, we'll be dead. And so she just went out. They went to a Christian place in Pakistan that serves a refugee camp. And there they were discipled, and they're one of the most prolific sharers of the gospel to the Afghan refugees that goes to Pakistan. Let me tell you, you may think that things are bleak and dark, but God's love, okay, God's love does not know any bounds. Whether you're in Afghanistan or in Pakistan, and it is always redemptive. God would redeem things for you just as it did for him. And so if there's one thing you need to remember, remember God's love is elective, it's corrective, and it is redemptive. Amen? Now, because of this, I believe we can be the most secure, the most grateful, and the most worshipful people on the earth if you understand this God, the kind of love that God has for us. Amen? Because God could have chosen anyone. He could have chosen everyone, or he could have chosen no one from Adam's fallen race. But you know what that God did? He chose you. He chose you. Among everyone else, he chose you. And his love never changes. And his love is always redemptive. Let's bow down and pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you that your love is steadfast. Never ceases. You love us with a love that's unmerited. A love that's elective. Thank you for choosing us. Thank you for changing us. Thank you for redeeming us. If you are here today and you feel that you may have sometimes questioned, or even now you're questioning the love of God because of what has happened to you. And when you heard this message, I believe the Holy Spirit is touching you. And God just wants you to go back to Him. That's the only thing that God wants. Maybe you're moving away slowly, drifting away from God. Well, God is calling you back and says, no matter what you're going through right now, it's not over, because I'm there with you. And when you are on my team, nothing can beat you. Nothing can separate you from my love. And I'm on my way to redeem your circumstance. So if that's you, if you need prayer for that love, that passion to grow once more, passion for Him, love for Him, just lift your hands and I'll pray. All right, many of you. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I ask that you would rekindle, Lord God, Father, that love, that you would change Remove the indifference, the apathy, Lord. And I pray, Father, that they would understand your love for them. That starting today, Lord, that they would not question, but they would trust your love for us. And Lord, I pray for everyone in this room as well. Lord, help us etch, engrave in our hearts and our minds about your love. Yes, you have loved us, Lord, but the kind of love is the kind because you have chosen us. You have elected. Your love is elective. Your love is transformative. And your love is redemptive. Thank you for your love for us that never ceases and changes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.